Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
James Fegan.
Yes, James.
James Fegan's got some branding on his laptop, making sure everybody knows that he's joined The Athletic.
Can never get too much exposure.
On Twitter at JR Fegan.
I can anticipate this question is probably way too early, but
excellent. Too soon. Too soon.
Asking the questions to get the answers you need.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendrick?
If I'd known that, I didn't know that. I'd check the rule. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
James Fegan with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Get the latest on the White Sox and the paring down of their roster in anticipation for opening day. James Fegan is on Twitter at JR Fegan, and he joins us on the Score Hotline that's presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, James. How are you?
I am racing towards Northbrook because I hear I should pick up a pound of Wagyu beef and eat it myself.
So, you are
sudden change of plans from listening to the video today.
Well, there are some pieces of advice you get from me that are different from others. That one, I guarantee, will make you happy.
It's really good.
If you get a pound of Wagyu beef and cook it just right and eat it all by yourself, you'll be a very happy man. So definitely do that. So where are we now on the cut down schedule as far as when they plan on finalizing things?
I don't anticipate the big this is our opening day roster announcement until after their optional workout in Houston Wednesday, but they're going to probably announce some more formal cuts after this game. So ideally you'd see some of the major moves that are being hinted at finalized by the end of this afternoon.
Yeah, we're all still trying to figure out. We saw Daryl Van Scowen's report, of course, on Leury Garcia. And I assume, James, now it's contingent upon Yoan Moncada's health, because trying to figure out what his situation and his status will be after exiting the game early, that seems like it's up in the air.
Yeah, a little bit. I think at this point, he said it was nothing major. I think they're still anticipating him to, be opening day ready, that it was kind of more precautionary. He told us he was fine post-game. So I don't expect that being a big change. And I think what they ultimately have to do with Garcia is probably a bit more, with the contract and the fact that they would probably have to put him on waivers and designate him for assignment. I anticipate that being a more final move than Moncada got hurt, turn around type of situation.
How is Moncada?
He said he's fine. He came out with lower back soreness. He came out, he gave us a thumbs up. He said it's all good. He didn't feel that bad. So as much as it's Yoan Moncada and there's a history, it's at least being presented as something where, I don't think he'd play again in Cactus League, but that they're going to try to get him ready for opening day.
I have been trying to figure out how to process Michael Kopech's last outing. And you hear so many times about the gun being hot in Arizona. You don't usually hear about it going the opposite direction. If that's the case, what his velocity means. I know Steve Stone just mentioned to us earlier on the Score that he was battling a virus of some sort, but this is a body of work now for him, at least out of the brief that we've seen. What are your thoughts on Kopech and what you've seen out of him, especially how he's affected with the pitch clock?
It seems like the pitch clock has been a thing that he's really been trying to adjust to. I know we talked about earlier that you know, he works slowly, and this seemed to be something that would speed him up a bit. In the long run, that still could be good. I think the last couple outings, you've seen him kind of racing to be ahead of it. He didn't want to be a guy who's racing to the last second every time. He wanted to be kind of working on his own schedule, but he's kind of sped up beyond what he's, you know, used to. So I think that had a little bit of effect of him tiring in some innings, because it's just kind of like 20 pitches right in a row with no break, in a way that, you know, isn't really how he operated before. But at the same time, like, yeah, he's been down. I think his first outing was 94-95 with a 98, and since then it's probably been a bit more 92-94. You know, he's spoken confidently about it. He said his knee is fine. He's said that he thinks the velocity will be there when he needs it, and it's just not him being physically timed up. But you'd obviously prefer for him to be more consistent, even if there's not a, you know, a specific health concern that's at Trichion right now. I think he can be effective with where he's at, especially if his breaking stuff is working. But yeah, that, obviously, if it's not just there and he's kind of a mid-90s guy, that probably alters the ceiling a little bit, at least for this season.
I know there were some people who were talking excitedly about how Billy Hamilton could fit in with the rules changes and perhaps more emphasis on stolen bases. But when I read your recent piece, it looks like, of all people, Romy Gonzalez may end up being a swing outfielder as well as infielder?
Yeah, Romy said yesterday, they told him at the start of camp that, you know, this, basically, it seems like he's been anointed as the new Leury Garcia, that they told him be a guy who can play, you know, three spots in the infield. I mean, maybe really four spots in the infield since he played a little first base yesterday. Not that it's something you'd want him to do all the time, but he's played center field in minors before. He's played in the corners before in the majors. He's going to be this guy, at least certainly in the years to come, maybe not a ton of it this year with what they have position-wise, but I think he's their seven-position guy that they're looking for going forward. And, you know, with the pop that he offers, with the athleticism he offers, you know, I think that's a lot more appealing role for him right now than, say, when we're thinking about him being the everyday second baseman without having really necessarily seen the plate discipline to, you know, to give you a lot of confidence for that right off the jump.
Given that you have somewhat psychic powers, who do you think starts in right field on Thursday against Framber Valdez and the Astros?
I would say it's either Colas out of the idea of this is our right fielder and we want him to start in its opening day, or if they're playing matchups, then I would say Romy would be out there.
Romy, okay.
I'm gonna guess Eloy Jimenez. That's just personally.
Yeah, that's a good possibility too. I just don't think that if they're platooning, especially on opening day, I don't know if they have the right-handed matchup to put in DH to go after them. You know, I think on days where Sebi is catching and Giannis Bonigrandal is hitting really well, and you see him DH a lot, and you see Eloy in right field. I don't. Opening day, I'd bet more on Eloy DHing, but you know, it remains to be seen. I think that could be right too.
You couldn't DH Berger?
I don't anticipate Berger breaking camp with. You could DH Berger if you had him, but I'm expecting.
Ah, interesting. I wonder, what does that do to the overall plan with him?
You know, he's someone that, you know, they put a first base mitt in his hands this spring, and they wanted to be kind of a first and third base guy. I think certainly he's a very appealing, like, lefty masher if he gets called up. I think he's probably the first call if, you know, any of your power hitters go down. But I think he's, you know, good offensive depth at this point.
I know that Lance Lynn gave A.J. Pierzynski an update on Liam Hendricks, as far as Hendricks cancer treatment and where he's trying to be. Of course, Liam is probably trying to push it because that's what he does. They don't want to name a closer, but who do you think ends up pitching if there's a ninth inning situation where a save is on the line?
You know, Pedro has probably been asked this question 15 times this spring, and credit to him for never snapping at any point, but you know, he's really steadfast on the idea that they're going to rotate. I don't anticipate, if nothing else, I know he doesn't want to box himself into the idea of, hey, this guy's pitched back-to-back days, but he's our closer, so he's going in again. So I don't think you'll see any of that. I think, you know, Kendall Graveman, someone who offers him experience doing that, who was obviously the backup closer when Liam was down last year. But I also expect to see Ronaldo Lopez in ninth innings plenty. And I think that when Garrett Crochet is back, and, you know, as much as Liam's like returns a mystery, you know, Garrett Crochet is slated to be back in mid-May. I think that's probably going to beat Hendricks to the active roster. I think he's a guy who, if he's throwing like he was in 2020, I think that's a very compelling ninth inning option as well.
What is Hendricks' current roster status, and what will it mean to see where he's placed to start the season? Because if they put him on the 60-day, that would presume he's going to be out for a certain period of time.
Yeah, they haven't given us any official pronouncements of that. That's what I think is most likely. I certainly don't think they want him to have the idea of pushing himself or rushing in any way. I don't think they've gotten this final determination that gives them the specific timeline that they can work on. They're still kind of waiting for him to, you know, work through what he has to have his situation be resolved with the illness he's fighting. As active as he's been, I don't think he's throwing bullpens or playing catch with the idea of this puts you on time to do this. So I think we're still waiting a little bit to figure out what his timeline really would be.
And as far as any pitching restrictions or bullpen restrictions, I know there were a bunch last year, whether it was a back-to-back day situation for somebody, and we've seen it with a few players on the team. Do you foresee any of that at least being an issue right now or once the season begins?
There's nothing that they've marked out officially like that. The fact that, like, Aaron Bummer's had, like, one Cactus League outing so far, like, I'd be surprised to see him, like, throwing back-to-back days right from the jump the start of the season. Maybe Kendall Graveman's on a somewhat similar thing, but I doubt it. He was able to throw pens when he was at the WBC, even though he only made two appearances there, and he was pretty, you know, solid in his first outing back the other day. Michael Kopech is probably going to finish his last start of a Cactus League with more around 5 innings, 80 pitches. So, yeah, he's not going to go 110 or 8 innings, anything out to start, but I think it'd be less restraints that were on him, you know, this time last year when he was really throwing 4-inning starts to start the season. I think Cease was in a similar place. So I don't see it being nearly as restricted as it was at the start of last season.
You know, something somebody was asking me the other day that I couldn't answer. Do you know the extent to which Grifol will be involved in calling individual pitches? Does any of that from the bench? Are there times when he may override a catcher, or is he generally going to allow his catchers and pitchers to call the game?
Yeah, I don't foresee that. I don't, you know, being a former catcher himself, I don't think he'd want to take away the autonomy they have. I know Grandal is very much like a, you know, kind of a, he's someone with a very built up concept of what he wants to call in the game. And I think the pitchers, now they have the ability to call in their pitches too. I think that's going to be them. I think they're going to be broad parameters of what they're trying to do in a game, but I don't anticipate a college style calling pitches from the dugout, even though the technology is there to do it now.
You wrote about Nick Avila in your article projecting the opening day roster. What can you tell us about that situation? Because I know you say in the article they pledge not to stash him in the major league bullpen just for the sake of stashing him, but I don't know why that wouldn't be a good incentive either.
You know, essentially that, you know, they're not going to force the idea that he's major league ready when he's not, just because he's a Rule 5 pick. And so at this point, it's either they have to put him on waivers, and then if he clears it, then they can start to work out a trade with the Giants if the Giants are interested. But, you know, when you have a Rule 5 pick, and you don't roster them, you kind of lose full control of demand, what's going to happen. And right now, they're hoping that they can still keep him in the system, develop him as a minor leaguer since he hasn't pitched much above Double-A at all. But I anticipate him being – he's not going to be a traditional Rule 5 pick where he pitches the whole season the roster, because he's been told he's not going to make the opening day.
How comfortable does Elvis Andrus look playing a position he's never really played before? I mean, I know the guy's a pro, but it still takes some time to learn the different footwork.
He looks better than he says he feels. He'll make a good play. He'll rotate right on a double play. He'll do something that seems very instinctual, and then he'll come off and be like, yeah, it's really weird, but I'm getting used to it, or I'm doing extra reps for it. I think he looks fine. I think the range is there. I think that the savvy is there. I don't anticipate it being a big issue. I'm sure he'll have like an error or two, and we'll, you know, because it's a new position, we'll think like, oh, it's because he's adjusting, and that'll be a little factor. But I don't see this being, you know, maybe the White Sox have kind of set the bar high on what it looks like when somebody is out of position. But I don't anticipate Elvis being like this big issue where he looks kind of a fish out of water out there. He's played there plenty.
James Fegan, thanks so much. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, James.
That's James Fegan of The Athletic. We haven't talked any Bears.
Bears.
Bears. Because I know I heard Brad Biggs coming in. He was talking about the Bears. And I think I realized something about where we are in Bears excitement right now.
Well, should we be promoting this?
No, it's just sort of, it kind of sunk in as I'm beginning to read this next phase of Bearsness is going to be a little different from what it was.
I'm visualizing the promo. It's not speaking to me. I think it needs a little more snap.
All right, help me out. Punch it up for me. Script doctor this for me.
No, that's the problem. We're at the place where this is the thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. That's what we're talking about next on The Score.
Yeah.
Bears. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
Ryan, when we talked to Matt Eberflus about Roquan last year, he said ball production was a key factor.
Yeah.
Edmund's ball production on paper is not any better. So just curious, how is Edmund's a better scheme fit for Matt's defense than Roquan was?
Yeah, the length, the speed, the coverage ability in terms of just the space that he covers. You know, and Matt and his group think they can take him over the edge with some of the ball production.
Do you expect Edmund to be more productive than Roquan was in this defense?
I'm not going to compare the two, but I think he can be very productive in this system.
You literally had to compare the two.
Yes. It's okay to compare the two. You just did. Ryan Poles, general manager of the Bears. He is among those at the NFL owners meetings in Phoenix right now, and there's all kinds of coverage. Most of the Bears coverage contingent is there. I think Dan Wiederer is there. Kevin Fishbane is there. I believe our friend Kalen Kaler is there covering for The Athletic. Fishbane says that we'll hear from Ryan Poles at 4 o'clock Chicago time today, and President and CEO Kevin Warren, I guess in his first official comments on the job. We didn't even know when he was technically taking the job, but he's there representing the Bears. Well, he'll be heard a few hours later. And then Matt Eberflus and George McCaskey will be meeting reporters tomorrow. But as we look at this now, I think we're that barring anything surprising, and by the way, he was talking about Tremaine Edmonds, the newly acquired linebacker, the big splash of free agency. I think we're past some of the sexy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I think the whole sizzle of the, oh, we got the number one pick, we got all this cap space, as we watch this, and as this now turns into, okay, here's your number one wide receiver, here's one of your linebackers, that when we start talking about the fat guys, and if on draft day at 9, they take a tackle, okay, or they take a run stuffer, or they take a 3 technique, whoever it may be. I mean, Jalen Carter is different because of all that goes with him. But generally, we're talking about somebody who's going to be pushing people around for a living. So this it now, because of all their needs, first of all, it's hard to criticize what they do because they need everything. So you're like, I can't believe they took that guy. No, you can really believe anything at this stage, unless they do something like take a running back, which they're not going to do.
Yeah, the Bijan Robinson stuff.
No.
I can't believe it. It's still got as much steam as it has. I think he's a fabulous player. I also think he's a much better fit for a team who absolutely needs a running back. They just signed Deontay Foreman. I think that was their running back acquisition. Yes?
Yeah, I think that may be a late pick on somebody, but I will say that the building part, I don't know that it's quite as exciting as some of the other stuff they've been doing. Wait, what did the Bears do? Now it's like, what did they do? Well, they drafted an offensive lineman. It's hard to be like, yeah, okay, go Bears, move the line in Vegas. I'm going to bet all my money. Did you see the win total is 7.5?
Last place team schedule helps.
Mm-hmm.
And they've improved the Ola task. Positions.
They have.
So there's that. But
they don't have Ola Tasp anymore. I mean, they have some.
That's a big swing.
Ola Tasp, by the way, if you're just joining us, is obvious lack of talent at the skill positions.
And couldn't argue with that last year. Now, that was definitely the case.
Now they have Lolo Tasp. Less obvious lack of talent at skill positions.
Go Bears!
Yay! We've improved from Ola Tasp principal to Lola Tasp principal.
And it really is. Listen, DJ Moore.
Her name was Lola Tasp. She was a showgirl. But that was 30 years ago.
Yeah, the diminishing skills on Lola Tasp as a showgirl is that tracks.
Now it's a disco, but not for Lola Tasp.
And right. Unlike Disco Stew, she advertises. So this isn't the sexy pick, but I think that's also how the drafts are made. That's how people are judged. To me, there's still decisions the Bears made last year, even in the obvious of what they were doing, trying to trade down and being in those lower spots where they still could have drafted someone else and they went with what they had.
It just reminds me this phase as a kid. Now it's like an NBA 2K or something like that. When you watch people enjoy NBA 2K, it's not about the playing of the games. It's about the building of teams. And it's about the who got what pick and then what trades you make. And then they sim the season. Right? They're just like, doesn't matter. They don't actually play. The point isn't to play the games. The point is to build the teams and make the big splashy trades. We did it with whether it was Pursue the Pennant Baseball or APBA or those the games with the actual cards. Same kind of deal. We just had an analog system. Like I was talking before about banking with Gringotts and the Goblins. But
yeah, but, of course, those relatable things.
But we're at the phase that where it's not like this isn't necessarily the most fun part. Like for us as a fan, now the games are going to be great once they put it all together. But it was that day they knew they got the first round pick, right? The Lovie Smith gift.
The day that Lovie Smith gave the first round pick.
Like that was, the, and then having that at that all, like, oh my God, look at that. Then the knowing of that. The buildup to the trade, and then all of the crazy national television professional screaming shows doing their professional screaming about what the Bears should do. And then
not
they went,
that we weren't screaming. We were.
Yeah, but we weren't actively trying to trade Justin Fields because there was no reason to do that. And then they actually made the trade, and now we actually have to consider, boy, do they need a lot of dudes?
Yes.
And whatever you want, right, go ahead. Pick that guy. Pick this guy. I might be probably somebody we've never heard of that he loves and be like, okay, you know.
I mean, but in surveying those who have talked to polls recently, there's still very much the concept of the Bears drafting Jalen Carter at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Peter King went on and on about it, talking about how that might be just staring them in the face.
Know.
And everything they do says three technique, that's the thing they need. Their system relies upon this.
But character. We believe in character. Just stop. I mean, NFL teams should really never say that.
No, but I think the Bears do believe it. Like, that's the conundrum.
It's just a sliding scale. They believe it when it's convenient to believe it, and they believe it less when there might be a little risk involved in getting a potentially great player. That's the thing.
That's
we know what they're saying.
The entire NFL.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I think the Bears still err on more so being true to that statement than others. Cowboys are something in contrast, right? But I still feel like the Bears, they err more on that side than they do the other. Especially recently.
Yeah, maybe to a fault. You know, they're not here to raise anybody's kids.
But you know what I've been saying? I've been saying that they need help on the offensive line. If you really want to help Justin Fields, if that really matters to you, put that draft pick on the line. Braxton Jones has done a great job, mm-hmm. but shouldn't be put in that position at left tackle. I still think that Tevin Jenkins has the highest ceiling right now out of the offensive line in front of them.
As a guard or as a tackle?
I guess as a guard, because that's where they've put him.
Well, everything's open.
I mean, they talk about flexibility. And Lucas Patrick somehow still has to be factored into this.
Yeah, we forgot he's here, right? Did he heal? Is he okay?
I sure hope so.
Poles himself floated the idea of Cody Whitehair playing center.
He did.
And I thought Whitehair was going to be cut.
Well, Mustafer.
And Mustafer was cut.
Right, so that was the switch. Woo-hoo. But when it came to Cody Whitehair being floated as playing the center position, it was because of his experience there.
Mm-hmm.
But that still doesn't figure out the left side of your offensive line, which is a major concern. I don't know why we're acting like this is done. And this is of no offense to the people who have played in those two spots at tackle and at guard. But that's just... He's a fifth-round pick. He got put in an awkward position and tried to make the best out of it. And I think to his credit, he did. But I still don't think that that's the level of left tackle talent you need protecting Justin Fields.
That's the position we're in as fans.
I'm
not going to argue. There's no argument. Like, there's no logical argument saying, no, Layla, you're wrong about that. Because they need everything. They still need everything.
They need some more than others.
They might even take a quarterback in the middle rounds.
A cornerback. What about that? Seriously.
What nobody's talking about. And that's why now Poles can easily do something simple and workmanlike and either make that pick or trade it down again and just start bringing in guys.
Our friend Jalen Johnson had injury problems. Are you sold on Kyler Gordon?
No.
The difference between man and zone coverage is something to note for this next season. He had some rough starts to games last year. Fried my patience a little bit. I know he's a rookie, but still. So all of these things come into play. And whether or not they want to say it, they want somebody massive in the middle in their linebacking core. That's seriously a priority to them because you saw the first thing that they made decisions on.
That's why he said size and length. He specifically said that's the difference when Potsy was trying to needle him about the ball production thing.
He did a fabulous job, that Mark Potash.
What he does in that particular job is needle people. That's why Jerry Angelo told him to whistle Dixie. When we come back, De'Aaron Fox, who was a college basketball star at Kentucky, was he not a star? And an absolutely electric college basketball player, has some thoughts on basketball when we return.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That time of year where a lot of us who really love NBA basketball find ourselves watching college basketball in a way that we hadn't for most of the year because it's fun and the games are exciting. They're usually close. They're not particularly well played. But
can't wait to talk about the NIT semifinal.
I know you're excited. You and
semifinal.
Pete have your bet. And
the bet of something.
And I remember watching De'Aaron Fox when he was going up against, well, it was Lonzo Ball, in fact, if I remember correctly, in the matchup of Kentucky and UCLA and seeing those two future NBAers go at it. And I said, this is some damn fine college basketball. Well, now De'Aaron Fox is a professional basketball player, and he was asked if he's enjoying March Madness.
I kind of flip through college games. I can't watch a full college game.
Really?
No, I can't.
Is it that bad?
It's hard. Okay. It's hard. Just the shot making is not at, obviously, the pro level. The refs are bad. A lot of coaching is really bad. I can't stand it.
I love him.
You also love the not interested flag.
That's the I'm not interested sign being draped over college basketball by none other than De'Aaron Fox.
But played college basketball.
But the look on his face, like, it's hard. The refs are bad. There's no shot making, and the coaching is bad. Unless you're watching Illinois.
It's so
Purdue. True.
Wow. Just all the shots fired. The first half is especially rough, though. Let's be honest. The first half has been difficult.
Is it me or is it
like when you've got teams scoring sub 20 first halves?
Can I ask you an honest question?
Yeah.
Does it seem like everybody's falling down?
Well, you just hate falling down.
No, but it's
you're
not
watching with a bias.
No, I understand.
You were mad at DeMar for that last year.
He's been better about that lately. He's been better. He's been shooting more threes and falling down less. So I don't ask for much. But it's not like the DeMar tactical falling down. People are just like falling.
Well, that's how you know it's physical.
That's how you know they're playing hard. They really want it. How do you know? Because that dope just fell down again. Derp. I mean, it seriously seems every time I turn on a game, somebody's going ass over tea kettle.
You know, it's just you're focusing on that instead of like the slick 5'8 guard who's balling out, who like might not have a future in the NBA.
It's fun.
That's where you need to refocus your pinpoint view on. You need to appreciate the slickness of the dude who's like
good.
Our height, who like can ball out. Yeah, and the fact that they're doing it in the tournament.
That's
not
Marquise
like
Noel.
III, pretty much.
I know his name. Marquise Noel.
I mean, I was picturing him when I was talking.
Yes. Well, you talk about a 5'8 guy that's bedeviling all of his opponents in his lavender outfit. That would be him. And then his coach goes to talk to the other team after the game.
Don't worry about that right now.
Okay, fine. We will do transition.
Worry about getting to 20 points and a half.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.